Morning.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. We'll continue in our verse-by-verse study through this book. I'm thankful. Thankful that God saved me. Thankful that God has given me an understanding of His Word, the ability to be able to read. I'm thankful for my education that I had as a young man. I wasn't thankful back then, but I am now. That God had saw fit to give me parents that loved me enough to send me to school, make me go to school even when I didn't want to go to school, to learn, and in His perfect time, and all those things would come together. Not that I'm smart by any means, but just think how much dumber I could have been if I didn't go to school. And I am thankful. Today, what we're going to do, we're going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 1 and read down to verse 5, which is where we left off. We had spent a large amount of time examining verse 4. And the reason being is because I really felt that it was vitally important for us to do that. Let's read. Proverbs 1:1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." He writes, "To know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." He writes here in verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Let's pray. Father, we do ask that You help us today as we look at Your Word, that God, You will give us understanding, that You would give us wisdom, the ability to apply the things that we learn, that God, we could live for You, that we could stand out in this world full of foolishness, that God, we could be grave, we could be diligent, that we could be ever mindful of Your Word, that God, we could live for You and please You and be a light to this dark and dying world. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. So we see here in these first 5 verses, and it carries on through in the beginning of this book, that some of the reasons to why Solomon gives this book or writes this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We see he said in verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction." How important is wisdom and instruction? You know, a lot of times we want to overlook. How many of us are guilty of trying, most men would probably have to raise a hand, of trying to avoid reading instructions? In other words, let me try and put this thing together. And if I can't figure it out, then I'll back up and punt. Then I'll have to find instructions, and I might have to probably take it apart and redo it because I didn't go step. It's in our nature to want to avoid instructions. And we see here that it's important for us to know wisdom and instructions. And it's important for us to perceive the words of understanding. We need understanding, especially in a day when there's so much deception. Because if things are, the scripture says that Satan can transform himself into what? An angel of light. And his ministers, and don't marvel, I'm paraphrasing, but so can his ministers. And in a day that's full of deception, and I understand that Satan's always been deceiving since he's been allotted at that time to do so, but even more so in our day, because we're living in the day of instant knowledge. In other words, you want to learn something, you can click on the internet, you can Google it today, and you better be careful what you Google, because if you don't have wisdom, you can think you get an understanding, and actually you can be being lied to the whole time. So it's vitally important for us to obtain understanding and wisdom, but more importantly, to gain this or obtain this from the Lord. He says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment. How many of us need judgment? I know we went over these verses, but it's been a while. And I don't even have in my notes. I wasn't planning on doing this. I just, as I was sitting there felt that it would be necessary for us to just back up and realize how important it is for us to understand that we need proper discernment. We need to be able to judge things in a right manner, and how we need to have one mind. And how do we have this one mind? We put on the mind of Christ. And what we have to do is we have to resort continually, daily, hourly, moment by moment, we have to go back to the Scriptures so that we can be assured that we're doing the right thing. Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm prone to error. Talking to a guy yesterday, we were talking about some controversial doctrines and how that people are against some of those things. And the whole time that I'm trying to explain to him some of the things found in the Scriptures, I let him know, I don't know everything. This is what, there's some things that I can find in the Word of God, because God's ways are so much higher than my ways that I have to confess I don't know all the great mysteries of how this works and that works and how God works among men and how that God draws and calls, yet men are still responsible. And the thing is, I don't understand how all those things work. But what I do know is that God's in control, and He does. And I can trust Him, and I can trust that if I seek Him over time through wisdom and understanding, God will reveal more and more and more of Himself to me. If we follow after Him, follow to know Him, you know what He's going to do? He's going to reveal Himself to us. And we see here that verse 4, he says, to give subtlety, or that ability to avoid being snagged, to those that are gullible, and to give the young man knowledge and discretion. But here we see a transition in verse 5. I keep saying chapter. In verse 5, we see a transition here. The writer goes from those who are simple, those who are gullible, those who are prone to deception in verse 4, to those who are wise here in verse 5. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, how many of us in here would honestly say that we want to be wise? I do. I don't want worldly wisdom. You know what's going to happen with worldly wisdom? Worldly wisdom eventually will let you down. This is not going to do you any good in the life to come. I want the wisdom of God. I want to make decisions, and I don't always do this, I have to confess. I want to make decisions that are right, that will last for eternity. Not necessarily decisions that are going to benefit me here and now. I want decisions made in my life and for my family that will benefit my family in eternity. And the only way to know those things are to what? Find out what I'm supposed to do according to the Scripture. Proverbs 9 says this in verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and you know what he'll do? He'll love you. Ain't y'all ever been rebuked? And it make you mad at first, but then you stopped and thought about it, and you said, you know what, I needed that rebuking. I thank the Lord. I'm thankful. Whenever we get in the preaching and we going through the Scriptures and I see the error of my ways, at first there's a conflict in my soul. I want to get mad at it. That's my nature. That's my flesh. But after I come to grips with the fact that it is the truth, you know what I want to do? I want to thank God for revealing that truth to me and changing me. It says, Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and you know what will happen? He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You know what we ought to be doing every time we show up? We ought to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. God ought to be transforming us, changing us, that process of sanctification from glory to glory. We shouldn't be going backwards. And if we are going backwards, you know what? We're acting like a fool, and we need to check up, because God's not teaching us, we're not being wise, we're not applying what He's given us, and we need to back up. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I'm thankful that God came to where I was some 18 years ago. And what He did was He brought to me a healthy fear of Him. That, you know what, made me stop and check up. Made me evaluate my life. Made me turn from the things that I always trusted in, turn to His Word. Now, I can't take credit for that. I got to thank God for that fear. You know, there's no doubt that wise men will get knowledge where fools cannot. I see some people from time to time and meet people from time to time that see things that I have to admit sometimes I don't see. Spiritual things. And you wonder, where do they get these things from? Now, I'm not talking about being super spiritual or overanalyzing or trying to manipulate things, but things that God gives them insight on. And they're awesome. I mean, we listen to preachers, do we not? That you wonder, man, how did this guy obtain to this? And if you ask him, he's still pressing towards the mark of the prize at heart. He said he hadn't attained yet. But the thing is we got to understand that it's only by the grace of God that God gives some men wisdom and understanding, and that they can gain. We can get in the, you know, I'm thankful that we get to study God's Word, and that we take, say, like on Wednesday nights, we break down the Word and everybody gives input. We share, we study in together, really what we're doing. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can get things out of passages, not that we're trying to manipulate a passage, but by simply examining and taking the exegesis, breaking that passage down, that we can get things that other people will just read over and never pick anything up out of it. You know, a wise man will gain instruction where other men miss out. They will. Wise men love instruction. They have a desire to do things the right way, but a fool just wants to do things the way he thinks they should be done. There's a big difference. And we can look at our life, just like I said earlier to start off, and I didn't have this in my notes, but putting things together, a lot of times we're foolish by not investing that little bit of time reading those instructions so it could be put together right in the beginning. And if we were wise, we would love the fact that somebody took the time to write those things down. Now, sometimes you got to throw them instructions away because they're wrong. If you know what I mean. But Proverbs 26 says this in verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, I want you to pay attention. I'm going to read another verse. Now, this is dealing with, y'all ever had to deal with a fool? Dealing with a fool is painful. It's what the book of Proverbs says. It's like having a broken tooth. Y'all ever had a broken tooth? I've never had a broken tooth, but I've had a hurting tooth. And when you got a hurting tooth, it hurts bad. Right? You had that not long back. Or like a foot out of joint. You ever twist your ankle? Sprain your ankle? Break your leg? Listen what it says. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. In other words, what he's saying is, don't answer a fool. But then what he says in verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You can't win dealing with a fool. Why? Because if you don't answer him, he's going to think that he had it all figured out. But if you do answer him, you know what? He's not going to learn from it. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want you to stop and think. I do, but I don't. You ever had to deal with foolish people? And how that no matter what you did, it just always backfired. I got a quote from John Gill. He says, "A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels." Where do we get wise counsels from? From the Scriptures. "A man of a spiritual understanding arrives to the knowledge of the wise counsel of God. The doctrines of the gospel, which are the whole counsel of God, is a profound wisdom because it is the hidden wisdom of God which no wisdom of man is comparable to." Is he right? He says this. He says, it is the wisest. He's talking about the gospel. He said, it is the wisest scheme. He's talking about the Word of God. It is the wisest scheme that was ever formed and which the wit of man could never have devised, even salvation by Jesus Christ, and which was laid in God's counsel of old. Who worked all those things out before they ever come into play? There was a tribunal. There was a meeting. Now, I can't comprehend this, but let's think for a second. A meeting of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know what they did? They predetermined what was going to happen before anything ever happened. I can't fathom that. I can't understand. That's too high for me. John Gill says, "Moreover, a man that thoroughly understands the things contained in this book is fit to be a counselor of others in things human and divine, in things moral, civil, and spiritual. He is fit to be in the cabinet council of princes, to be a counselor of kings." Is that true? It is. You know what every leader in this universe ought to have beside him? Is a wise man that knows the Word of God, that gives him godly counsel. See, that's not the case in our day. I still got some more of this. One more little paragraph of this. And I had to copy this down because I thought it was good in the sense that we have to understand that this wisdom only comes from the Lord. He says, "Yea, to have the reins of government," this man he's talking about that takes to wise counsel, "should have the reins of government in his hands. He shall possess government," or "he shall possess the helm, or sit as the pilot there, and the word, as this word may signify, and steer the ship aright," which he is, "whether it be his family." Now he's bringing it down to a personal level. He's talking about a wise man that attains unto wise counsel, godly counsel. "Whether he steers his family or the church of God or a city, a corporation, a kingdom, this book, rightly understood by him, will furnish him with the rules to do all things well and wisely." And I think that's a good quote. If we're going to run a family, you know what we need to run our family by? The Word of God. Right. We're going to run this church. You know what we need to run it by? When I say run, you understand what I'm talking about. We ought to operate under the dictates, under the order of what the Scriptures say. You know, I got to thinking, and a man of understanding is a person who continually makes himself open to be instructed. It's part of his life. In other words, he's constantly looking to gain instruction. Now we've got to be careful, not so that he can go around and brag about all the things that he knows. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, on the contrary, a fool is someone who thinks that he is beyond learning. I used that illustration before we got started about putting something together. And the reason we don't read instructions is because what? We don't think we have to. We don't think we need to. We think we could figure this thing out. And sometimes we find that we're wrong, right? Now, it's not that detrimental when you're putting a tricycle together. But what about our life? What about our family? Now, that's a different story. So for us to just automatically assume that we know how to live, how many of y'all had good, godly parents that were wise in the Scriptures that taught you how to raise your family? I can't raise my hand. Now, I'm thankful for the parents that I have. I'm thankful for the mom and dad that God gave me. But I have to confess that they were not godly people. And they didn't raise me to raise a godly heritage. So I was taught the wrong way. So now, you know what I have to do? I have to find out how I'm supposed to teach my children. And I have to confess from time to time I fail. But you know, the good thing about failing is we got a merciful God. You know, the world that we live in is full of people who think they are wise. Think about it. Any of y'all do social media? Have y'all witnessed any fools on there that think they wise? Some of the things they say? I don't do it, but I could imagine how stupid some of the things are that are thought to be. I'm finna show them something. Yeah, you just did. What's the Scripture say? If a fool holds his peace, he's considered wise. Why? He doesn't tell on himself. A fool can be quiet and everybody thinks, that dude there is pretty sharp. Why? Because he never has disclosed or proved that he is a fool. Just because he kept his mouth shut. Wise counsel, that word wise counsel here, this word is derived from the Hebrew word that is used for a ship rope. I thought this was a good definition. It signifies those teachings by which a man may direct his course of direction correctly through life. This imagery, it's taken from the management of a vessel. Now, we don't know much. Any of y'all ever been on a big ship that had a helm? That most of us haven't. Some of us have. But we can kind of conceive that concept. And we think about it, how that massive ship is managed by what? By a few little things, right? That turn. What James uses that illustration about the tongue and how small it is, but how wicked and unruly it is. But we see here that this word, you take a, say for instance, when the helm of a ship is turned, there would be a, I've never studied this, but I could just imagine mechanically that there would be a, I would say a complicated yet kind of simple at the same time. You know, sometimes things can be simple but yet complicated. Y'all understand that? Like a cell phone. I mean, it's simple to operate, but very complex if you ask me how it works. Same thing with this helm. I would say that it would be a system of ropes and pulleys that would be hooked to this wheel. Y'all got me? And when it turns, in turn, what happens is these pulleys work, turn, and what's it do? It controls, or they would be employed, and what they would be done is connected to a rudder that would be used to maneuver the vessel in order to stay what? On the, what's the whole reason that you have a rudder? Stay on course. To avoid a rock jetty or a pitfall. And the thing is we got to take that, and when we make that comparison to the truths that we learn here in the Scriptures, we find that the same thing applies, that these truths that we learn in God's Word, they're binding, are they not? Just like a rope. What do? They create tension, right? They restrain. They give us resistance within. And in turn, what that does is that keeps us headed on the right course. And I'm thankful for the wise counsels of God that when I want to do, you know what, I have to admit, y'all may want to run me off because I often confess, but there's often times I have to confess that my flesh wants to do things that I know I'm not supposed to do. There's a desire there. And what I have to do is when that desire is there, I'm thankful that those restrain to keep me going straight instead of allowing me to be, you know, without wise counsel, you and I'd be, we would be like a ship that's tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the latest, greatest, newest thing that comes along, if we didn't have that counsel, that wise counsel, the Word, these truths that were instilled in us, what would happen is boy, somebody would say, you know, they're doing such and such at this church over there. Oh, really? And we'd all run off over there. And before long, they would be doing something over here. You know, that's happening today. It happens every day. You know, without wise counsel, we would be extremely vulnerable because we would have nothing to steer us. And in essence, what we'd be reckless. We would be like Paul. Remember when Paul and them had got caught up in that hurricane? You remember what the Scripture says? They just let her drive. You know what happened? They everything was tore up. They were in a bind. They had no more ability to control the ship. So that ship was at the mercy of the sea, and it went where the sea wanted it to go. And all they could do was just ride it out and hope for the best. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to just ride it out. You know how many people are just riding it out, hoping for the best? Hoping against hope. Thinking, man, maybe. Then in some areas of our life, we're guilty of doing the same thing. And what we are to do is we are to thank God that we're not reckless in a sense that He has left us to ourselves, but that He does have the rule and the reign and the ability through His Word to govern us. Because without those things, you know what? We'd be totally out of control. I got 5 minutes. We're going to look, if you will, in Job 37. Job 37, just in front of the book of Psalms. Job 37, starting in verse 5, says, God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He which we cannot comprehend. Aren't y'all glad we serve a God that is that big? For He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of His strength. I wish He'd hurry up with the snow, because it's hot outside. I'm ready for some winter time. But it will come in His good time. He sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know His work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the water is straightened. Also by watering He wearieth the thick cloud. Notice this. He scattereth His bright cloud. Who's in control of all the clouds? Look what it says in verse 12. And it, talking about this bright cloud, is turned round about by what? Same word here. It's as if God has a helm on the things that He created, and He does, and He can use all those things for His honor and glory, and He is able to do what? Steer them where He wants to, that they may do whatsoever He commanded them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for His land or for mercy. Aren't y'all glad that we have a God that's able to even control the clouds? You know what we need? We need to beg Him to govern us with His Word, to protect us, to direct our paths, that we remain in the way of righteousness. That we don't veer off. You know, sometimes we get to... How many of us would have to testify from time to time that we're complainers by nature? I am. Brother Jimmy mentioned the other night that I worry. And sometimes I do worry, but I'm way more of a complainer than I am a worrier. And there's times when I start to do something, like everything's revolving around me, and then all of a sudden a cloud comes up, literally, and dumps rain on what I'm planning on doing. You know who's in control of all that? But you know, we often feel or think as if, you know, hey, this, I don't like this. God's in control of everything. And I know we know that. But oftentimes we have to remind ourselves that. And what we have to do is we have to ask Him by His grace to keep those reins, those, a wise man. We need to be wise so that we can, most importantly, and we're going to close, we need to be wise so that we can glorify Him in everything that we do. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You help us. We pray for mercy and grace in Christ's name. Amen.